Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken Foster. Don't you love that intro? That music always gets me going. I hope it gets you going, too. Hey, today we're going to talk about the courage to evolve consciousness. That's, you know, it's a big subject. It really is. And, you know, for those of you that are maybe in a place you're looking outside yourself, you're turning on the news, or you're just walking down the street and you're maybe seeing the homeless people out there or the chaos that's going on in the world, and you know, you're wondering, gosh, is this the, you know, apocalypse coming? Is this, you know, what is this? What's going on? And maybe you're a little concerned. You know, a lot of people are concerned out there about what's this world becoming. And, you know, today on this show, I thought we might want to address how to be in the world, but not be of the world, right? And, you know, a lot of times that takes courage. You know, I would say this, you know, we have to have a hope inside of us. You know, hope is an act of courage, the willingness to take the next step, even when the path isn't really shown to us, right? So, you know, I don't know how many times in my life, you know, when feelings of uncertainty were there, and I just took time to get still, to tune in, right? And to allow myself to let go of all the thoughts in the mind for a little bit, right? And every time I do that, take a few breaths, what would happen for me is, it's almost like putting on a new pair of glasses, right? I see things differently because I'm seeing eyes through the place of peace, and I'm seeing eyes through place of usually gratitude and love, right? And, you know, if we can change our complaints into gratitude, things look differently. If we turn our worries into compassion, we see things differently. And, you know, if we change our judgments, our hatreds, our criticisms into caring, you know, I know you care deeply, or you wouldn't watch this show, but when we can really step into that caring in a greater way, our life can change. So, you know, today we're not focusing on hope per se, but I think we need a little hope here, you know. You know, hope's not pretending that things are fine. You know, it's really kind of a quiet decision to believe that something greater is possible. And something greater is possible for all of us in this world. You know, we are on the precipice of awakening to a greater sense of our oneness with one another. In fact, I would say this. If you combine stillness with the thoughts of oneness, one with everything in the universe, what you come out with is a sense of love. Stillness plus oneness equals love. So we're talking about how to generate that in the world in a greater way. And, you know, love isn't something that is like this woo-woo, fluffy, oh, we don't want to talk about it. Love is a power. It's a force. It's an energy. It's a place where when you connect to it, you feel vibrant. You feel alive. You feel alert. And, you know, go give love to somebody. You know, got that homeless person on the street, you know, get rid of your judgments. Go give them $10, right? You know, look into their eyes first, you know, connect with them, give them some money, see how you feel, right? You know, if you can feel that love, that hope flowing in you in a greater way, life gets better. I had a lady I coached at one point, and she was feeling depressed. She wasn't having good things happen in her life, in her marriage. And I said, why don't you try this? You know, just for 1 week, look at what you love. Bring love into your world. And she said, oh, I'll try it. Well, at the end of the week, she came to me and she said, Ken, you know, I don't much care for little kids. It wasn't ever my deal. But little kids are coming up to me in the grocery store and they're hanging on me. And they're telling me that they want to connect with me. I'm like, This is a powerful force, this love thing. So why am I saying all this? Well, listen, I have a guest today on this show, and we're going to be talking about the Ascended Masters. We're going to be talking about Service to Love Trilogy, the books that she's written. We're going to be talking about you. Really, this can be the show. It's an important show for you. It's going to be the show that shifts it for you, that you shift into a higher energy frequency vibration field. And why not? Somebody's got to do it. Might as well be you. So stay tuned. I'm going to take a break. And when we get back, I'm going to have my very, very special guest. Welcome back again, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and my very special guest is Darlene Green. Darlene, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ken. It's great to be with you. What a delight.
Thank you. I feel the same way. And for those of you that don't know Darlene, she is a channel and scribe for the Ascended Masters and Source. She's the author of the In Service to Love trilogy, as I mentioned, and soon to be released new book, Love Speaks Always. And she's got a foreword in that book with one of my mentors, Dr. Irvin Laszlo, who writes, "Darlene has captured the essence of my life's work." Now, that's no small feat. Irvin Laszlo has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize twice. He's written over 106 books. Him and I together have done over 60 conversations with, I would say, kind of people that channel Ascended Masters over the world. So her message, Darlene's message, bridges evolutionary and cosmic consciousness, inviting humanity into the next paradigm, living authentically, sourced by love. You know, love, there's always a sense of timelessness when I think of love, Darlene.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like, yeah. I just feel like breathing into this conversation today. Yeah.
I just got very still as you say that. And as you say that, what happens actually is that love truly is presence. Yeah. And love is not, our perception of love is not always accurate. It's not love like I love tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches, or it's not even love as in I love you. It's something so much larger. And I would have had no idea to even comprehend the magnitude of this until I ended up having some of my own experiences, and they altered everything.
Well, I want to talk about that. And I like what you where we started. You know, love, most people define love as an outward experience. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about is an inward expansion of consciousness. And when you had your experiences, maybe you could describe that for us so we can understand what happened.
Sure. Well, this is something that's been going on my whole life. I've always been very sensitive and perceiving and seeing and knowing more than most people, and my whole life. And I'm clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient. And so I heard the voice of my counsel when I was 4 years old. And I didn't know what a counsel was, but I heard. And so as life progresses and I have more events that occur, it starts to fuel my own inner search. And my own inner search ultimately took me to a deep spiritual process of reading and learning as much as I could perfectly get my hands on. And then ultimately to a profound event in 2017, where I was met by the Ascended Masters. It was a profound event. And I was met by the Ascended Masters and by love itself. And they asked me to write with them. And so that began the trilogy of In Service to Love.
Wow. When you met with the Ascended Masters, and What was the feeling?
I was sobbing. And the presence of the divine, first of all, is unmistakable. And the experience was one of, I can only say it was rapture, of being held and being lifted up by love itself, with love moving through every single cell and of my being. And I knew I was always in search of this sacred something. And I knew in that moment that this was the sacred something that had been driving a life search.
Yeah.
And so it's the presence of the sacred that is undeniable. It feels like home.
Yeah. Well, you know, science tells us now that that the field, okay, is not outside of us. We are the field. We are all of this. We are the love. We are the energy. We are the, and from my understanding is the only reason we don't feel it continually or experience that love is because we've covered, there's kind of like a rust over the soul. It's covered up with past, you know, guilt, shame, remorse, dramas, misinformation, disinformation, things that we've taken on that have just helped us maybe be in this world, but it's not reality.
Yeah, I would agree that what happens is that, and one of the main lessons of my work with the Ascended Masters, I basically have now had 8 years of being a student of the Ascended Masters. I've been in a master class on consciousness with the Ascended Masters. And the reason for that separation is that we have a human nature and we also have a divine nature. When we're living from the state of our human nature, it's hard for us to be able to see our own magnitude. Mm. And this is what our evolutionary awakening process is doing for us.
Mm. Well, we are evolving, and I want to ask you, so how do you describe the evolution of human consciousness, you know, towards wholeness, towards unity, towards oneness, you know, towards love? What does it mean to live from both our human and that infinite divine nature? You know, how do we merge that together to maybe evolve, not only evolve us, but evolve the consciousness on the planet?
Right. You know, that has been one of the age-old questions of humanity, the thought of enlightenment, the thought of expanding consciousness has existed and been the source of wisdom traditions, and all wisdom traditions. So what this is, what was presented to me is that as evolution, everything evolves toward a greater state of wholeness. And typically, evolution moves so incrementally that we can't see it. And so we get used to being in our human selves. We get used to life looking the same way. What was proposed to me as a consideration was consider that you are not only your human nature, you also have a divine nature. And in this evolutionary process, our state of wholeness is not about becoming a better human. It's about becoming the next human. And as we claim our own divine nature, what happens then is that the vision that we hold is not of the limitations of our human nature, but it's from the expanse of our divine nature. So that is automatically sourced by love. And so what happens in this new state of wholeness is we end up living in a synergy. And so it's not, you know, living out in the ethers. It's really about improving a quality of life every day.
So what I'm hearing there is it's not about doing more, doing, you know, being a better person, working out more, running more, you know, building bigger businesses, bigger. It's about being more. It's about tuning into the divine, the divinity within, having that understanding that is us. That is the next evolution. It's already here. We just have to remember it.
That's it. And so, and that was really one of the primary foundational concepts of consciousness. And we needed, first of all, to be able to come to terms with our own divine nature. And what happens initially is like, who am I? Who am I? Which is really a state that I was in as I am writing. So I'm at my keyboard here and I'm writing and I'm hearing because I hear, I'm hearing that I can feel the archangels right beside me on my right-hand side here. And what they're saying to me is, you have no idea who you are. Who you are is source in form. And what does that then make possible? And I'm sitting here at my desk, and I'm saying, well, that sounds really audacious, kind of like the audacity of me to even be considering my own divine nature. And so as my writing continued and I continued to grow a little bit past my own limitations, I have been able to see that beyond the shadow of a doubt, that who we are is divine. And when we get these magical moments, you know, those magical moments in life?
Yeah.
Well, that's really our divine nature breaking through. That's already who we are. Those moments of beauty that is brings you to tears.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and we're Darlene Green. We're talking about the evolution of consciousness within you. And, you know, in your work, you talk about horizontal consciousness versus vertical consciousness. Why do you talk about that, and what concepts, as we understand that, what shifts in us?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's the whole point of that particular conversation, is to be able to create a shift. The idea of enlightenment, which is the termed as the new state of wholeness. The new state of wholeness is called enlightenment. It's always being perceived as can't get there from here. However, that's being perceived from a state of consciousness that is like flat. So there's two different kinds of consciousness. The kind that is traditionally human is one called horizontal consciousness. And you can consider that like wearing orange glasses. When you're wearing orange glasses, everything is orange. Everything that exists in life is within the frequency bandwidth of orange. And within that frequency bandwidth of orange, blue isn't available. So the idea of a vertical consciousness comes in as a way to be able to elevate our own awareness into the next state of being. And so that means then that as we move our awareness vertically, we end up having the opportunity to experience broader parts of ourselves. What that requires, though, is that we have to move outside of a state of comfort, which our human nature really likes. We'd like to know. We like to be right. We want comfort because we get comfort as we live in a known world. However, as we move our awareness vertically, life can sometimes get uncomfortable because we are approaching an unknown. But living with the state of unknown is really an earmark of raising consciousness, because you're moving into a new iteration of yourself. It doesn't not just make sense. Yeah. If I stay within the world that I know, I'm not learning anything. Holding the state of I don't know, or holding the state of curiosity, holding the state of having the courage to move into a state that I can't see is profound.
And, you know, it seems like we move through states, we move through emotional states very quickly. But we're talking not emotional states, we're talking conscious states. That can shift our paradigms, and when we shift paradigm, we see things differently. That's what you just shared. Within all that, there's core principles of consciousness that we're talking about. But what I want to ask you is about energy, frequency, and vibration, and how that plays into what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There's all of these different foundational concepts to consciousness that the intention was to be able to make an elevated state of consciousness more accessible to us from the perspective of our human nature. So the way that they viewed, they also demonstrated a state of wholeness, was that who we are is a gradient of light and frequency. Mm. We are from density. Like, imagine a rainbow.
Yeah.
Right. Rainbow has the frequency bandwidth that we can see, and the frequency bandwidths on either side that we can't see. We are that. Our physical body is the part we can see, and there is more of us that resides in light on frequency that is not visible. So when we begin to visualize ourselves as a gradient from density up to full light, what happens then is when we move our awareness vertically, we move into these finer levels of awareness. When we move into these finer levels of awareness, those finer frequency bandwidths, what happens is that, just like being in a hot air balloon, we end up dropping ballast. So I cannot stay with the stance that I am in and the way that I view reality and move to the next level.
Yeah. And I think some of those, the balloon ballots that we drop are things like attachments to people, places, things, expectations of others, judgments of others, criticisms, and I'd mentioned some of the other ones earlier, the guilt, shame, remorse, or living from the past. So we start to live here in the moment, in the present moment. When we can start to drop those, we start to ascend.
Right. And that's the ascension of consciousness. And consciousness is perceived as being so, like, out there and unattainable. Like, enlightenment is unattainable. Like, I can't get there from here. But the whole purpose of the body of work, when my work with the ascended masters, is they gave me pictures. And they said enlightenment is like the beautiful ships that you see on the horizon. And we are standing at the dock. And so the work is to bring the ships to the dock, and us as the dock move it forward closer to the ships.
What do the ascended masters share with the steps to enlightenment?
Pardon me, say that again? I didn't hear
what, you. Share with me the steps to enlightenment, as maybe somebody's listening to this, they're going, oh, I'd like to be enlightened. What are my steps? What do I need to do to really be able to expand my awareness, expand my consciousness, feel deeper love, deeper compassion, deeper joy in my own life. What do you share with somebody like that?
I think that, first of all, having that question is really powerful. Well, it's a powerful question because it opens yourself up to getting answers. So the first one I would say is to intend your own wholeness. I get up every day and I say, I choose my wholeness, even though I may not understand everything that that means. I choose my wholeness. And you see how when you say that, it strips away those limitations? Mm-hmm. And what happens there is that your wholeness then will pull you into a state of being, and you'll notice a bit of a shift in your thinking. Another thing is to truly consider your own divine nature. And it's not like there's no mandates here. This truly is an inner process. You can't hack this. You can't hack this system. Truly, what does that mean internally when you say, who I am, the source and form? Like, sit with that and see how that feels to you, because there's a whole other language of the soul that's at work here. And that's the resonance that occurs to your resonance. And so we begin to learn and get answers through how it is that we feel.
That's really good. Yeah, I have a friend I went out to dinner with last week, and he lost his arm. He lost his arm to a aggressive skin disease. And we talked about it, and I said, you know, what do you think about this, you know, how you are now? And he says, well, I've got one arm in the astral, and I've got the rest of my other arm here in the physical. He says, so I'm moving towards that more and more. I thought, man, that's a lot of brilliance there. That's a lot of light there, you know? Yeah, he still feels it, but it's in the etheric. It's still there. It's not gone anywhere.
Yeah. But isn't that beautiful? That is living from a state of wholeness, and that's what this is really all about. It's not about moving outside of ourselves to become something else. It's about releasing everything else that is not authentically us.
Yeah. So, you know, we have people, you know, that I started the show, you know, we got people that are out there, my audience, some of you out there might feel a little hopeless. Some of you are watching the news and going, man, this world's going to end soon, you know, that, you know, or your family members just passed, or there's stuff going on. And you're going like, well, how do I apply what Darlene is saying practically in my world? You don't know my life. My life is, lots going on in my life. How do I apply this? And what would you say, Danny?
Well, I'd say that, first of all, grant yourself some grace. Because we're moving into a brand new state of being, we're moving into a new era, a new paradigm. And it's not easy. It's challenging for everybody. But I would say on those days, particularly when you feel rattled and pulled by the outside world, is to stop, take a breath, and in your mind's eye, walk back to your own center. When I view it like a target, and if I'm in a state of frustration, anger, hopelessness, I watch myself walk to the center of my own being. Another thing I will say is I bring all parts of me present here and now. And I say that three times. I bring all parts of me present here and now. And what happens then is that it brings that awareness, because we send ourselves out with our thoughts on our concerns. So what that does is that brings us back then to our own center, where we have our full capacity to be able to deal with what's in front of us.
I love that. Got to take a break. When I come back, you've written the series, and you know, Service to Love. Let's take a dive into that. What, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, love is, you know, out, not out there, it's in here, and that type of thing. But how do we apply those principles in our life in a greater way, so that we really can feel more love? All right, we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome, buddy. This is your host, Ken Foster. I'm with my very special guest, Darlene Green. Darlene is a channel and a scribe for the Ascended Masters, and she's also the author of the In Service to Love trilogy. And Darlene, I have I wanted to expand on that question right before the break. I'm asking for some practical ways that we can maybe evolve our consciousness into a love source, really a higher consciousness paradigm. I'm wondering how we can do that practically, right?
Right. And, you know, there's so many pieces to that. There are, first of all, realizing that we are frequency. We have the capacity to move our awareness to a higher expression of who it is that we are. So the perspective that we hold is something that creates in our life. So we know then that we can shift perspective to a more elevated part of ourselves. And then as we do, we begin to listen to the language of our soul, which is different than the language of our mind. So what happens is that imagery becomes more important. As you end up shifting your awareness, you'll end up finding that you end up having more pictures, more like non-linear parts of you that will be showing up.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So how does love speak to you? How does love speak to us? Like, what are those words? Let me just ask that.
How does love speak? That is such a great question. Love speaks always. And we each have a way, because we are always, always connected with our own divine nature. We listen, we are always getting communication from our I am self, our source self, all the time. When it shows up as hunches, or maybe I have a gut feeling, but really the process of being able to listen to love in a greater way is by adjusting our hearing. We can nuance our listening to a finer to a finer level. Love does not come up and grab you by the lapels. Love, just my experience, love will offer an idea or a concept, and it just holds it in front of me with open hands. And it's like, look at this. What do you think of this? And so it's a very fine-tuned way of listening. So, for example, you and I are speaking right now, and then there is the heard word. It's what it is that we hear. Now, to demonstrate another way of listening, now think about a conversation you had yesterday. That's another kind of listening. It's these subtle nuances that I'm talking about. When the way that I've found that we each have our own way of listening to our higher self.
Yeah.
When as we move and shift our frequency, our awareness expands and we end up hearing more from our I am self, because the chatter and the noise from our human nature, right, doing this all the time, drops away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on one hand, we end up gaining light and awareness as we are releasing the density of the limitations of being human.
Yeah. Well, love is speaking to me, and I bet you it's speaking to my audience as they're tuning into this. See, you might not even be hearing my words or Darlene's words, but you're hearing inside is love, because we've shifted the frequency, the energy, so now love is talking to you. So my question to my audience would be, well, what, you know, maybe you even get your journal out and start writing, well, what does love say to me, right? You probably know what fear says to you, you know, things like you're not enough, you'll never be enough, you're a loser, or you're don't do this, don't do that, you know, whatever the fear is thinking. But, you know, it's interesting to write them both down. And here's the other part of that question for you, Darlene. It's like, I'm thinking about, I'll use me as an example. As a child, I was told, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, do this, do that. And so as an adult, when my wife would come from a very loving place and say, hey, you should go and, you know, take your vitamins today, for example. And I would have resistance to that. Like, oh gosh, right? Well, where am I listening from? I wasn't listening, you know, necessarily from love to her, or listening from love. I was listening from an old program or an old fear-based program, what I should have, could have done, right? And so I had to learn how to shift into listening from love, because she was coming from love. That doesn't necessarily mean I was listening from love. And I think that's something we have to learn. At least I did.
Yeah, I think so too. Because like, we are living in a human experience. And so having these reactions is natural. But am I creating in my life from all of my reactions? That's either a reaction that I get is a trigger for me now to identify what else is happening, because that's not authentically who I am.
Well, I do teach this in coaching, that reaction is a red flag for you. You know, it's like, oh, I'm reacting. Oh, okay. Wow. Stop. Get still. Get quiet. Let's go within. And let's see if you could replay that scene, how would you have responded in a different way? Yeah.
That's main components also of this body of work is learning how to not be reactionary.
Well, a lot of us are just reactionary. You know, we learn reactionary, you know, responses. I mean, in fact, corporate leaders, you know, they're like, they're taught to react, you know, think quickly on their feet and react quickly. But unfortunately, it doesn't work all the time. You know, the smarter you are doesn't mean you get the best results.
Mm-hmm.
Does it?
And I think that raising consciousness really is an answer to everything. You know, you were talking about business leaders. I'm thinking, I think about that, and it's like, I think that this, how ideal for business leaders to hold an intention to raise their own consciousness, because what happens then is that their own vision expands And that vision then, as it expands, it's aligned with that state of oneness and connection with everything. And it's aligned with the state of innovation. I have to say, all of these three books and fourth book, it didn't come from my mind, my thinking. This is original work. And what I'm saying is that as we connect with our own divine nature, innovation that is sourced by love is possible. And that's what we need in this new paradigm, is leaders stepping forward and saying, I'm going to move to that state of innovation by expanding my consciousness and see where that takes me.
Well, it takes us into higher levels of living is where it takes us. If you know, I know when I started on the path, I had a lot going on. You know, 1992, I was, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to self-medicate, trying to feel comfortable in this body, trying to, you know, manifest wealth and all, you know, it's like, wow, I was like really having a hard time. But then I was blessed to come into contact with people like yourself, Darlene, and had higher consciousness, higher awareness. And I could feel it. I couldn't think it. I could feel it. And I thought, wow, okay. It feels good to be in the presence of someone like you. And I thought, that's really what I want in my own life. I want to feel that constantly. And so I just started on the path. I started tuning into the feelings of it, right? And I think a lot of people are like that, you know? I'm not sure your story, how you got here. You know, sometimes it's all of a sudden, but sometimes it's subtle. It takes a while.
It did. For me, it took a while. It was really very painful because my level of sensitivity was, I didn't have a place to put that. And so I was perceiving an awful lot. And what that did is that it had me kind of move really deeply internally. And I was just kind of, I became not really visible. And so it had me shy away from actually. And I had to, and so my process really has been moving from a state of unconsciousness, because I came into this world being unconscious, having gifts, but being unconscious. I've gone through the density of my humanity to the state of now, with the help of the ascended masters, to a more elevated state. And I have to say, there's never an arriving. Nobody's ever cooked.
Well, you know, that's part of ascension. That's part of understanding as we grow in consciousness, that the universe expands as we expand, right? You know, that's the good news. And, you know, instead of a lot of us coming on the planet with black and white thinking, it's this way or that way, kind of taught that, right? Mm-hmm. And I like fifth dimensional thinking, right? There's probably 1,000 different choices to any one challenge. And if we just are willing to ask different questions and willing to just get still. Yeah, stillness seems to be the key to enlightenment. It just does.
It is.
That. Yeah.
It is, because in the state of stillness, you have a blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Different than drawn upon by the past, and it's not holding space for a future. It's in that moment where, and I know that I had such a difficult time really being able to get to a state of stillness. It's more than not moving my body. It's actually moving all of me to a singular point of my own center. And then that is where everything happens. That's where the state I moved to do the writing.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the quieter our mind becomes, the quieter our breath becomes. And of course, we can go breathless when we get very quiet. I'm not talking about holding your breath. I'm just talking about being in a breathless state. when our thoughts just subside. And that seems to be the portal to cosmic consciousness, where we start to, time stands still and everything starts to open up. And it's an interesting place. You know, the yogis teach that, and in fact, a lot of people on the planet have learned to recharge their bodies through cosmic consciousness, where they get still, they get quiet, they don't need as much sleep. In fact, it's been I've learned this at 2 hour, about 20 minutes of really deep connection, as we're equal to about 2 hours of sleep. So we don't necessarily need to be going down the paradigms of the world that, oh, you get, you know, follow your doctor's order, get 8 to 10 hours sleep. Well, if you're doing the world and that's all you're doing, that's probably true. But if you learn to get still, as Darlene just mentioned, it can take us into a whole new realm of how we show up in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's one other piece there too that I think is, that's, well, there's many of them, but one of them that's coming to me right now is the importance of standing in the state of the unknown.
Mm. Yes.
Being in the state of the unknown is incredibly important, and that is what causes a tremendous amount of upset right now, because we no longer know what is happening. We don't have the handrails of familiarity, not in a paradigm shift, but actually that also reflects what happens internally, because as we move internally to higher levels of awareness, we move into uncharted territory. And so one of the things that the Ascended Masters told me was that when you're enlightened, the unknown follows you like a shadow.
Well, to I'll give you a practical tool to get into the unknown, and it's called courage, right? See, courage doesn't show up until we're willing to go into the unknown. But as soon as we're there, courage is an energy. It's a feeling, a vibration, and it's expansive. So that's a wonderful way to live from. In fact, if my audience takes anything away from this, I hope you've taken a lot. But if you take one singular thing, it might be to live from the unknown, to live from that place. Because it's very, what I want to say, live from curiosity, live from possibility, live from like, whoa, you know, this is going to be an amazing day today. Not sure what's going to happen, but it's going to be really fun. Not sure what's going to happen is the unknown, right?
That's it. Yeah. But it vibrates with possibility. I'm a little feeler, right? But so it feels and vibrates, that unknown vibrates with possibility. It's exciting.
Well, I don't know about you, but I sure loved our conversation, Darlene. We're out of time. It just went like that. Yeah.
We've been out of time, I think.
Yeah, we're out of time. So I appreciate you. Where can people get your books?
Well, they can get my books. They're In Service to Love. It's the trilogy. They can get them Amazon, any other bookseller, or you can go to my website, which is darlenegreenauthor.com. And then there's also information there, too, about my fourth book that'll be coming out a little bit later this year. A couple of months, actually, and it's called Love Speaks Always.
Love Speaks Always.
Embody your I Am cosmic consciousness and become the new human.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, again, thank you. And my audience, thank you. Please pass this show on to people you love. Take care.
Thank you.